Hello and welcome to the Upgrade School Marketing Podcast. I am Matt Soule. I'm the Director of Marketing Communications at Chapel Hill Chauncey Hall School.
And I'm Angie Ward. I'm the President of Enroll Media Group, a digital marketing agency for schools.
Angie, we're making it through spring into the summer. How's it going?
Yeah, here we are. It's going great. I'm looking forward to summer. It's that time of year, you know, where you start to chip away at that pile of summer stuff, all those projects that you really don't have the time to get to the rest of the year. So I'm looking forward to it. What about you?
We always say that, like, you know, throughout the school year, when there's something that's like a big project question time, like, oh yeah, let's take a look at that in the summer, like that we could take a look. And then summertime comes and you look at your list and you have 75 major projects. So that's the
step summer. One is we gotta prioritize that pile a bit before we dive
prioritize
in.
And that is great tie-in, Angie, is what we're talking about today with Dana.
Today, we have a fantastic conversation ahead of us with Dana Nelson Isaacs. And Dana is, she's brilliant. She's doing a lot of great work with schools, but she's specifically helping them untackle the big question: does your school have a marketing problem or a market problem? So that's a really big distinction that schools need to really figure out before they start investing more in marketing. So we're going to dive into that conversation with her shortly. And it's just going to be such an important topic, especially for schools to really think about this summer.
Yeah. And, you know, I think as we talk about all this planning in any schools, when you're thinking about, you know, hey, how come the yield of our students is dipping, or how come students are now looking at these other schools that they didn't normally look at in our circle, or our open house attendance is growing or shrinking, like that, this talk is going to be about figuring out why that's happening and what actions you can take to improve that in all the different ways. So I think it's super important. I think it's super important at this time as well. And about Dana. So Dana Nelson Isaacs is an expert in enrollment strategy who has spent more than 25 years helping schools solve complex challenges with clarity, candor, and heart. She advises admissions teams, heads, boards, everything on market research, enrollment feasibility, strategic enrollment management. She's known for a candid, collaborative style, and she's also a speaker, facilitator, and coach to leaders across the country. So she is someone who, if you ever see her at a conference, most definitely go and check out her session. I have before, and it's always an amazing time, and you learn so much from her. So let's kick into talking with Dana. Dana, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks. Thanks for having me. How are you?
Doing well. Doing well. We loved the blog that you put out, and you continue to put out amazing work and teaching schools on how they can learn and grow. And we really wanted to have you on to talk about this, but I was kind of wondering, just off the bat, you know, we're getting into summer. You know, what's on top of schools' minds right now that you're working with?
Yeah. Summer is such a key time, and it's so hard when people's schedules are all over the place and it's hard to get everyone in one room. I think that I'm really seeing two main things in terms of summer planning. One is around this sort of second round or third round or late season enrollment, where so many schools are either not full or are concerned about summer melt and are just looking at, you know, what else can we do? And I'm really finding that the most effective strategies are around being more intentional, not just doing more. It's really being much more directed and strategic in terms of how to bring in those families and move them through a funnel. So that's definitely a main focus this summer. And then the other thing that I'm seeing a lot of is people doing a lot of reflective work on what happened last year, tweaking plans for next year, trying to understand what challenges they faced and how they might address those in the coming year. So, you know, naturally, summer is a great planning time. And I'm definitely seeing that and working with schools on sort of strategic enrollment planning, I would describe it as. It's really fun.
Yes, I can relate as well at Enroll Media Group. This is definitely that planning time. Like, how is this year stacking up? What do we need to be doing differently next year? What do we need to present to the board? So that's great.
Yeah.
Well, Dana, we're excited to jump into today's conversation. Let's start off with this big question. So, when a school is facing enrollment challenges, what are some key things that they should ask themselves to figure out what's going on?
Yeah, I mean, this is a really important question, and there are so many things that you could ask yourself. But one of the things that I've been hearing a lot over the last several years is this issue of enrollment offices feeling a ton of pressure around, like, we need to fill, we need to have more higher quality applications, whatever, lots and lots of pressure. And the enrollment offices knowing that there are things that are within their control and things that are not in their control. So I feel like there's a moment here that's been a little bit of a long moment at this point, but to really identify what is the problem, and ways to do that would include things like understanding the market itself, and then also being really honest with yourself about what's going on in your marketing effort, and trying to see, is there a tweak there? Those are the things we're going to really focus on today in this conversation. But the other key piece is around retention. So if a school is having a hard time with enrollment, retention is the place to start. And again, you have to be really honest with yourself about what's happening and being willing to have hard conversations to move forward.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. All right, so let's start off with a market problem. What might a school see, or what might you indicate, or what might you see in a school that could indicate that they actually have a market problem?
Yeah, so there are a number of things. I mean, the first thing that comes to mind, of course, is just everything we're hearing about the demographic cliff, right? And what's going on in terms of birth rates and income levels and so on. My cautionary tale about demographics is to be specific about the market that you're in. So, one of the things you might be seeing if you're sort of suspecting a market problem is decreases kind of in everything. So I would pay attention to that. I worked with a school not too long ago that was also really missing a great market because they were very focused on what they perceived as like a larger market. So, like in this example, this school really was overlooking a more rural area that was farther away, that had less people, but actually was more aligned with the school. And so, by tweaking strategy that way, they were able to sort of mitigate what they perceived as a market problem. You might see, like in survey results, something like, for families who didn't accept your offer, they might say something like, well, we wanted something that was more traditional, or we wanted something that was more faith-based, or something. That might be a mismatch between what you offer and what's within a reasonable catchment area for you. So that would indicate a market problem. No amount of selling your not faith-based school is going to change that, right? So that would be a market issue. Psychographically, you might see things like schools advertising something that is true to them, academic rigor in a suburb where parents are more motivated by like a whole child approach, right? Enrollment was lagging, and it wasn't really that demand was low. There were plenty of people out there, but the school was a mismatch for what was going on, and that would be a market problem. Or like competition, right? Like if you're in a super saturated market and you're hearing everyone talks about academic rigor, and one school really stands out for something and another school stands out for something else, but not much is different really. Like market saturation is real too. So you might be losing people more to others, like actual competitors. They could be public or private, but whereas I think before we weren't as clear as about who we were not enrolling and where they were going. Now you might get more feedback about schools that have like a bigger name, and them sort of sucking the market away, as opposed to a little bit of a more even spread. So that could be a market problem too. So lots and lots of ways to look at all these things, but those would be some indicators, yeah, around a market problem.
So, to a school that is listening to that, those potential areas where there could be a market problem, and they're saying, that could be us. Where do you, when you work with a school, like how do you get started with them in doing that research and getting that going to like really figure out what is going on?
Yeah. Well, I don't want to minimize the importance of just your lived experience at school. So, some of where we start is just with that. Like, well, what do you think's going on and why do you think that? But from a more data perspective, starting with demographics is really the best way. It's readily available if you're an NIS school. The Demographic Center is really helpful. That's different than MarketView, which also is an incredible product, but the Demographic Center is a little bit, well, whatever. It's great. It's a great resource. The census, if you're not an NIS member. So just understanding what's going on in your local area, in terms of birth rates and income, levels and also potential changes. And then the other kind of easy in is looking at your competitive set and seeing where are you actually seeing cross applications? Where are you actually losing to, as opposed to like just the benchmark schools your school might be using for other things? And seeing like, are we all sort of saying the same thing? And if so, why are they getting these students that we're also admitting? And trying to understand more about that, I think are good places to start.
Great. And kind of following up on like gathering that info too. So, we started doing a declined family survey that was, families who were accepted and declined our offer. Have you found like those to be like a really good way for a school to kind of own that like data gathering? Are there any other tips that you've given to schools on how to get that and what they do that has been successful?
Yeah, well, that is wonderful. One of my favorite ways. The other great survey or focus group or whatever is the families who are newly enrolled. So they just went through your process. They love you. They picked you, but they also looked at a lot of other places, probably. And so getting their intel before they start at your school can be super helpful. And one of my favorite questions on those surveys are things like, I'm not going to say it exactly right, but something about, did another school do something particularly well that you think we should add or change? Or, sometimes you get feedback like, yeah, I went to an incredible, family picnic at the Smith School down the street. And you at your school might think, oh, we don't do anything like that. Like, is there anything we could add or change that would achieve the same goal of whatever that picnic was, right? So that's an audience that I really like to talk to as well.
That's great. Yeah, one of my favorite to talk to newly enrolled, especially the newly enrolled students, always ask like, when was the moment that you realized that this was the place? Like, what was the moment for it? And that's always surprising to me to hear. And that's where you get some of those, we're gonna go into marketing, but you get to hear some of those things to say like, oh, I watched a student do a takeover, and I said, these are kids I want to hang out with and I want to be there. Or, or it's a revisit day and I just got to, I talked to a group of kids at lunch. And but it helps you kind of make it very real as to what the specifics of it and what actually connected with someone.
I was actually on the phone yesterday with the head of school. We were talking about the decline group and how that's a great question for them too. Like, was there a moment that had you decide this isn't for us? And that head of school is at a high school, and she was talking about how the parents were sharing with her things like, my student didn't like lunch, and those things are real. It might not be the reason, but those pivotal moments that can really have an impact. Well, she didn't like her visit day, and to really dig in, like, well, what happened at the visit day? Why not? Turns out the student took Spanish, and during her visit, she was placed in a French class. That was a slight misstep, and so on. Anyway, those are all good things to be asking.
Sure.
Specific, get specific.
So we're talking a lot about market. So in marketing, let's talk about marketing and potential issues that a school could have, and maybe how to spot an issue with marketing at a school.
Well, the good news about marketing is that it's easier to fix than the market, right? So marketing really is looking at, are the right people finding us and, moving through our funnel and enrolling. Yield is one of my favorite stats to look at. So a couple of indicators of a marketing challenge would be things like a family that drops off in the funnel having been part of your process, not just like the initial inquiry, but they've come on tour or they've submitted an application, but then they disappear. Those families exist, right? Like there's not a market issue, but something's happening to them through the process. That's almost always a marketing diagnosis. Sometimes when competitors with similar offerings are doing better, they might be just doing a better job of telling their story. So that could be an indicator of a marketing problem. I will just say, like, sidebar about that. There's a lot of perception issues around a school doing better. I put in air quotes, like a board member will say to you, but why is the school down the street full? Like, they don't really know that that school's full. So you have to be careful of that. But anyway, I think you get my point.
True. Grass is always greener.
Exactly. And visibility gap, you'll hear things like, this school is the best kept secret. Like, we don't want that. Like,
Hidden
that's a marketing challenge, right?
gems. Yeah, hidden gems.
Yes, exactly. Or you hear perception things about other schools like, oh, we chose blah 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 school because they're more academic. But are they really? And my caution to schools that I work with is always to, again, like, be honest with yourself. That might be true. And if it is, how do you want to switch your marketing? And if it's not true, how do you want to change your marketing? So, those are important questions to ask.
So if a school, again, hears this list and says, okay, that we might fall into one of these,
Yeah.
what can they do to learn more and start to grow from that and kind of correct?
Yeah. So I feel like there are a few different ways to do that. One is to dive deep into your ROI. Like, where are people actually coming from? What's the cost per inquiry and by what channel, right? Like, how's your marketing working for you? And being clear about that ROI as much as possible. I know that that's hard. The second thing is to reflect on your messaging. And again, to be honest about, like, is this really what our market values or is it what we value? And how can we bridge that gap? I talk a lot about the intersection of mission and market. I'm not suggesting that you change who your school is necessarily, almost never. But how you talk about it does matter, and understanding what families need to hear that's going to resonate for them. And then anything that has changed in your area, like, you might be kind of relying on an old story. We're very academically rigorous with amazing college outcomes, and that worked for us for a long time. Now we're having problems. Turns out the psychographic picture of the region has become way less interested in that and is much more interested in flexibility or individualized attention or whatever, right? So that's just messaging strategy. Retention, who's leaving, why are they leaving, are there patterns? And then also just all that feedback that we've been talking about. What are those deciding factors? And can we change the way we tell our story?
Yeah, and I'll just echo some of what you said there, in terms of marketing your mission and also making sure that when you have the data after you do kind of that market research, whether it's internally or with a partner, when you have that data, it can be so easy sometimes to just to pivot your marketing like on a dime based on some of that. And I know you and I, Dana, have a couple of shared clients, but I'll give this one example. After you conducted some market research for one of our shared partners, not only did you uncover some core zip codes that they needed to hone in on, but you also identified through some survey work the messaging that really mattered to the families. And we took a look at all of our digital ads that we'd created and were in market on behalf of that school, and they were missing STEM, entrepreneurship, and technology, which were three of the important values. And sometimes it's easy to overlook when you're looking at your own marketing and your messaging all of the time. So I just want to that market research can really just give you a couple of nuggets that can easily transform your marketing.
Yeah, it's a good point. I'm thinking about a conference session that I led recently about using various evidence streams to inform your messaging strategy. And that's exactly what you're talking about, Angie, right? Like, there's some survey information, there's some market information, there's the why us question on your application, there's tour, notes that you take, right? There's lots of ways to sort of evaluate how your messaging is landing.
And just another one too, just on sometimes I think of that as like, oh, we're making these big changes. Like when you hear these things, we have to change it. But I know there's been some things that have been like really just significant small changes that, we survey after every tour. Would they get a quick survey just to say, how was the tour? What could have been different? And we saw, we do day in boarding, and our day students, when they took a tour, didn't go to the one of the dorms. Like they didn't go to the dorm because we assumed like, oh, that's not something that they But then we started, you know, we looked through and in the survey we saw day families saying like, oh, I wish I would have gotten to see the dorm and realized like, oh, it's of course like they want to see it and they're potentially could become a boarding student. And if not, they're still interested in what it looks like. So it was able the next day that tour route changed. And now everybody, so there were some times like that too, where you're just like getting that info helps you just very quickly say like, they're asking for it.
I have a great example of that too. I work with a school. I've worked with them for many years now at the end of the school year, doing all those end of season surveys. And they got some feedback that the interview felt short. This is a school that interviews every entering kindergarten family. And they said the interview felt short. And the school down the street, the interview was longer and they didn't feel rushed. Whereas my school client, there was sort of a back-to-back schedule. Well, we gave the school that feedback. They changed it the following year, and we never heard about that again, there are little things that can happen when you just ask the right questions.
That's great.
Yeah. So I'm curious, we might have some schools listening to this right now who think, okay, I probably have a market problem and I probably have a marketing problem as well. So if they've diagnosed both, what could they do right now? Maybe they have a very limited budget, but what tips would you give a listener today?
Yeah, I mean, the two problems are quite different, right? So the market problem, you have very little control over. And I would say if you are thinking you have a market problem, I would be armed with the data to support that and to take your role as a leader really seriously in terms of forecasting, preparing for various potential scenarios, doing some forecasting. Something like a shrinking market impacts things like teacher hiring, schedule, right? So in your role, you can really inform all of those things. So I think that that's really, really important. I also think that being willing to put a stake in the ground is a worthy effort, regardless of the problem. But when you have a market problem, especially being willing to consider things like signature programming, right sizing if you need to, or you just sort of stick it out, but know kind of what's coming. And one thing I'll say about signature programming is that sometimes I mention that to schools and they get kind of freaked out, like, well, what do you mean? Like, what are we gonna do? Sometimes you don't have to create anything new. You're just gonna repackage what you already do. So student council suddenly becomes the center for entrepreneurship, that kind of thing. So I'm not suggesting that you inflate what's happening. You might need to do some tweaks, but remember, we're talking about messaging here. So it's just about how that story gets told, which relates to the marketing, right? And with marketing, you have more control. Sometimes it's harder because there can be sensitive conversations that have to happen. The math program is not working. I am the admission person, and my marketing person is really defensive about XYZ, right? So finding the right partners. And I think that those are really good first steps. So just again, to quickly recap, market problem, be armed with data, kind of ready to go scenario planning. Marketing problem, again, armed with data. But that's more about conversations that might need to happen internally around changes programmatically or strategy-wise.
Yeah. Wow, lot to get started on for sure. So when do you think it makes sense for a school to bring in maybe an outside partner once they've identified some of these things, or maybe they need help in diagnosing?
Yeah. I mean, everything that we've talked about, people can do inside their school. You don't have to bring out someone outside. I do think it can be helpful in a few different times. Like one would be, yeah, like they're overwhelmed with all the options and sort of don't know where to start or don't have the time or the headspace to give to something like this. That's pretty common, actually. Just an outside perspective, right? Like if you're suspecting either of these issues, actually, having someone outside be able to support and help articulate and that type of thing. And then, if you want to do like a really deep dive, I would say it's helpful to bring someone else out in, unless you have a large team and people who are really passionate about the work. But if you want to do like a deep psychographic dive or a deep demographic dive or some serious surveying focus groups, those would be times I would think about bringing in some support. But like I said, I mean, it's all doable internally if that's better for you.
Sure. There's something like the times we've worked with outside people, there's something great about someone who is disconnected from the history or what's going on to be able to kind of, I think it becomes like a more objective start to it and everything. Everybody, it is a nice process to have that, I think, and can be kind of eye-opening what comes from someone who is outside the community. So do you have, we're talking about all the different things to look out for and ways to go. Do you any schools that come to mind when you think about somebody who has gone through something like this and just done it really well?
So lots of my school partners have done this kind of work really well. Starting with the right diagnosis, I think, is really the only way to efficiently solve these problems, right? So I would say schools that do this well are willing to do the diagnostic work as opposed to just like, we're gonna just try everything. And it's like the spray, what's it called? Play and spray, spray and play,
Yeah.
whatever.
Spray and
That,
pray.
yeah, exact. Spray and pray, right. There's a lot of that. And I think that the schools who are more effective are willing to do the diagnostic work first. They're also the schools that have support going into the project. So the head of school, the board, if the head is like, well, we just need more billboards on the freeway, it's going to be an uphill climb to, explain all of the other things going on. But if the head or whoever, in your leadership team, understands that these things are complex, I would say that's a setup for success as well. And then just a cohesive leadership team that's also willing to think creatively and out of the box. And, the comment I made about putting a stake in the ground, the willingness to do all of those things is really the setup for success. And then in terms of like actual action items, again, I really think a lot of this is about time and like giving it the time to take what you've learned and then change it. Like the example you gave, Angie, about our joint client or I work with some boarding schools that have done things like change their travel strategy based on information like this. Like that's saving a lot of money and time to decide like actually it's not worth going to Austin. And here's why. Here's all the, I have a board member in my ear. Why don't you go to Austin? Like here's why. And shifting gears. So I think I've seen schools be really successful with that. And then being willing to try new things. So schools that are have been doing fairs a lot, and the fair, we all have our feelings about fairs. Sometimes they're great, sometimes they're not so great. I worked with a school that said, you know what, we're not going to do fairs anymore. We're going to shift entirely to a much more personal style, and we'll continue to do our open house on campus, but we're not going to do those big outside events. And instead, we're going to do small, intimate events in libraries, in sending school preschools, in people's homes, at the YMCA. And that worked really well. So I think those kinds of creative, out-of-the-box solutions are where I see the most success.
Great. I think it's a lot of good tips for schools to, as we're going into the summer, to kind of frame out how you're looking at the data from the year that you have just come through and make your plans and see where you need to shift your focus as you make that plan. So thank you so much for sharing all of that. This is great.
Sure. And one thought just about that is that you probably have almost all of this information already. So it's really just about taking the time to organize it, think about it, and make it actionable is where the rubber hits the road.
Is there any, here goes surprise end question. I'm like the person the end of class who's extending it here. Are there any points of data that schools have that they don't always realize that they have, that you found like a golden nugget in that, like, oh, make sure to check this. Like, where do yeah, what do you
For sure. So typically when we talk about surveys, people focus on the admission office focuses on like their admit decline or whatever, or parent satisfaction surveys is where people tend to sort of look. But if you have recently, like in the last 2 to 3 years, done a head of school search, an accreditation, or a strategic plan, you have a ton of information at your fingertips.
Yeah, that actually that's a great idea. We're going through a self-accreditation right now and a reaccreditation and the self-study and all that. And I hadn't thought about that as far as using that for our marketing. So that's there you go. We got my summer assignment ready. Thank you.
Right. Alumni surveys, right? Like that's a lot about results. So, yeah, there's a lot that people are sitting on.
Love it. Love it. Dana, how can our listeners get a hold of you if they want to chat more?
Well, I'm on LinkedIn, so you can definitely find me there. And my website is dniconsulting.biz. happy to talk anytime. I speak a lot at conferences, both virtually and in person. Always want to meet people. So any of those ways, feel free to reach out.
Oh,
Awesome.
great.
Thank you
Thanks
so
so
much.
much, Dana.
Yeah, thank you. This was fun.
Thank you so much to Dana for joining us and sharing so many great things in there. Something that stood out to me is just there's so many decisions in marketing and communications and just in leadership at a school that, you know, having confidence to make those decisions and know where to look and know what to do and what, you know, where you're needing some work is really key. And I think that's the thing that's really standing out to me is doing this market research and doing the marketing research is going to give schools that ability to say, oh, we know what needs to be done and we know like the directions that we need to go in to do that. So again, going into the summer and having that, you know, confidence to go into those areas, I think is going to be really key.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a lot to tackle on your own sometimes, I would imagine, at a school. So Dana listed some great resources, and of course, she's always accessible. So I definitely encourage schools to reach out to her for help. Well, this was yet again another great episode, and thank you to all of our listeners and viewers. Please subscribe to the podcast at upgradeschoolmarketing.com. Follow us on YouTube and on LinkedIn, upgradeschoolmarketing.com. Thanks so much for listening.